Well, yeah, everybody's been just a little bit edgy. Adults are so crummy at snow days. We just don't know how to completely relax. And in fairness, we have a lot of worries, things like roofs and bosses and mortgages and that kind of thing. And maybe that takes some of the fun out of our snow days. But folks are obviously justifiably concerned about when the snow plows are going to be coming by. And how does the whole thing work? We thought we would go right to Kate Van Dale. She's the public information officer for the city of Duluth. And we sent her a whole bunch of questions and asked her to find out the answers. Hey, Kate, good morning and thanks for joining us.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
All right. So let's start with some fundamental information. What's the best unit of measurement to use? Like maybe how long does it take a plow to plow a city block, for example? Or what's the best small chunk of space that we can try to evaluate?
Yeah, it's a great question. And unfortunately, it really depends on what the conditions are. So when we have storms that are, you know, maybe 2 to 4 inches, we're able to plow a street if it's in normal conditions, in a matter of a minute or a few minutes. When we have a storm like this one, that's the ninth largest in our two-day snowstorm history, it just takes longer, especially when we had, more cars on the roads and have compacted that. And it also just, with the temperature dropping, it turns the snow into concrete. And so, again, it really just depends on what the conditions are. Not every snowstorm is the same. And so it just depends on how long it takes to plow and, what we're up against in terms of temperature and how snow has been compacted.
So, I don't know, do we want to say like 5 minutes just for the sake of a reasonable estimate?
I think that's too much. I live on 4th Street, so when I see clouds, go through my street, there's sometimes that it seems like less than a minute to plow on our street, certainly when they go up Woodland. I know even the graders, it took them several times even just to do a corner, so therefore it could take, a couple minutes to do a block. I mean, it really, again, just depends on what the conditions are, where they're putting the snow, once they're able to plow it, and how many times they have to go back and get the whole street, because one swipe takes however many minutes, and then they keep going, and then at some point turn around and then do another swipe. So again, it really depends on what the conditions are and how much snow we have.
Right. We're still just trying to give people an idea of how long things actually take. Because until you actually time something, you don't, for example, how long does it take me to pack to go out of town for a weekend? Oh, I can do that in 15, 20 minutes. Oh, wrong. Time it sometime. You can't. All right. So how many miles of street are we talking about in this town?
Yeah, so that's a great question, and I think one that gets lost a lot. So the city of Duluth is responsible for maintaining 530 miles. Again, I'll say that again, 530 miles of our main roads, our residential streets, and our alleyways. And so I know I've seen some comparisons to Superior being plowed at 50%, at the end of the day yesterday. And I would, again, just remind the public that Duluth is a lot longer than Superior. We have a lot more roadways than they do. So it's really not a fair comparison to make that, other communities are getting things done quicker. There's also situations where the city of Duluth alone is responsible for those 530 miles. There's other mileage that St. Louis County takes over for us. That are county roads, that MnDOT does others, but literally 530 miles is our sole responsibility of clearing.
All right. So as we try to work this through and we try to take a look at the numbers and try to, plot this out for ourselves, give me a guesstimate about how much time is lost when there is a car stuck in the middle of the street. And of course, everybody was looking Saturday night. Social media was full of pictures of people driving around, and you want to be charitable and you want to assume that these people had some kind of an emergency or a serious situation and they had to go someplace. They just weren't out for Cheetos or to see what was going on. But, you know, folks are getting stuck. So as you've been there on 4th Street, if there's a car stuck or a car that's sort of angled out and a plow's got to try to navigate around it, how much time do we lose there maybe?
Yeah, so again, great question. We have had several cars, actually, it sounds like multiple dozens of cars that have been stuck, who've been tried to get out and, you know, either go to the grocery store or maybe they're going to get some food or something, and they're, unfortunately, their cars get stuck. So when that happens and people have then abandoned their cars, our plow drivers then aren't able to access that block. They have to then call it in. We have to find a tow truck, or we're able to tow it for some of our contractors if they're able to get to them. So then there's situations where we are taking time to plow around that stuck vehicle so that we can get them hooked up to a tow truck. So again, you know, the amount of time it takes to call a tow truck, to then have the tow truck come, to then have the plow try to help get around that car and then come back, you know, it can take hours, honestly, to just be able to navigate that one piece or be able to call back to dispatch and have them help. So again, it's a lot of time that's been lost when we do have those situations. And at the same time, you know, we certainly understand that people do have things that come up, and we've tried our best to plow main routes so that people can get where they need to go if they were able to get out. And again, just really appreciate the public's understanding and patience as we're doing the very best that we can with the resources that we have.
All right. So a number of people, of course, and it's easy to armchair quarterback, and it's easy to make decisions when you don't have all of the things to factor in. And sometimes that kind of transparency where you try to explain to people, these are all the different things we have to take into account, makes it easier for folks to understand. And that was kind of the point behind our conversation this morning. Just out of curiosity, people, there ought to be more plows. Okay, how much does a plow cost?
So a plow costs us on average about $200,000 per plow. We have 20 that are in operating right now. And then a grader costs about $350,000. And so a good example is that yesterday we had three of our graders go down. The day before we had another two. So normally we have 22 graders. Now we're down to 17 that are operable. So all of these things, again, you know, take into the consideration of how long it takes to plow. I know one of the things that I think has been missed is that we have our main fleet is out plowing from 2 a.m. until 6 p.m. And so for multiple days, I think we're at day four now of running our plow drivers from 12 to 16 hours a day. We also have an additional crew that comes in from 6 p.m. until 2 p.m. So we're running 24 hours a day. And it's really, you know, again, we're doing the very best that we can with conditions that are not our average snowfall. This is, again, a historic snowfall. And again, just doing the very best that we can to get everybody back to work and have lives get back to normal. We certainly appreciate that. And again, are just working to the very best of our ability to do that.
All right. So you've got about 20 plows operating. You've got about 17 graders operating. And of course, anybody who would like to contribute to the Buy the City More Plows, you know, is welcome to contact the city and write you out a check for either $200,000 for a plow or $350,000 for a grader, unless you can maybe get a deal on a really, really nice secondhand one. Just a thought. You'll have to talk with the city folks about that. So how many staff people, how many plow and grader drivers are working per those two shifts that you talked about, the 2 a.m. to 6 p.m. shift and the 2 p.m. or the 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. shift? How many people are out there driving plows and graders?
Yeah, so we have generally for that 2 a.m. to 6 p.m. shift, we try to have around, you know, between 30 to 40 people that are driving. So, again, all of those pieces of equipment are occupied during that time. Again, we'll have, you know, additional people come in, so anywhere from 6 to 10 come in for that second shift from 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. And, again, we have an amazing team. There's been you know, some injuries that have happened. We've, you know, obviously there was a holiday, and we have had guest operators come in because they're so passionate about wanting to help clear our roads and get the city back to normal.
All right, wait a minute. Wait a minute now. All right, this I love. You have guest operators? I love that. I love that. And so they come in, and maybe somebody hands them a cup of warm coffee, and they welcome them, and, oh, it's so great to have you here. And then they plow just out of the goodness of their heart, or they just because they want to help.
They're backup operators, but they're called our guest operators because this isn't their normal job. So they've got an additional job that they're, you know, taking time off of to come in and help us to be able to do that. So
Holy cow.
it has been great. It has been all hands on deck. You know, we've had some of our park staff coming in to help drive our plows or our graders. You know, it's really been multi-department effort to have this whole process roll out. And again, it's one of those things that, you know, that you can plan for snow events. We certainly knew that this was coming. But again, when you have a storm like this that just sits on you for several days, and then blizzard conditions that make it so that, you know, even for our drivers, it wasn't safe at times for them to be out on roads. This really was a multidimensional storm that, as everyone can see, we're still trying to get out of. But again, we're doing the very best we can and calling in all of our resources to do that.
All right. So one of the other things that helps people when they're frustrated and they feel powerless is the opportunity to help. This town is just lousy with clever folks who can do all kinds of everything. If you have some experience driving a grader, driving a truck, that kind of thing, and you'd say, hey, I'd like to help, is there a place that you could sign up or maybe get your name on a list so that if the city was looking for extra people at a, you know, kind of a time of crisis like this, that, you know, I mean, maybe you have to be vetted, maybe you have to go through some training. I don't know what it would be, but is there a way for people to say, hey, I want to help, I can drive a plow, put me on the list the next time there's a big storm and I'll come help out?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, I think there's been a different scenario that we can talk about. There's been so many great things that we've seen pop up on social media with people wanting to help. There is a group of citizens that literally snowblowed 6 city blocks, which was amazing. We've seen neighbors helping neighbors to help, you know, either if they have a blade on their truck or they have a snowblower, they're able to help help their residents. And that also helps us. I know, you know, there's been some landlords that have, you know, gone up to Sunbelt or to John Deere and rented tractors and have then plowed some of the alleys in an effort to help help their tenants and other private homeowners get out of their home. So these are all things that are wonderful and are so Duluth in terms of helping one another, and then also really help the city because if there are blocks that we're not having to plow or alleys that we're not having to plow, obviously then we're able to move on to others. You know, we certainly understand that not everyone has that ability, but again, just want to say thank you to those that have tried to help our efforts, and it's really appreciated. To your question, there are certain times of the year when we do have those job postings available and would love to have additional people sign up. We also have, you know, trainings that we can help post people to drive those types of vehicles, as we know that, you know, there's other entities like the county and MnDOT that are also continuously looking for drivers.
All right. And we will get a bunch of links set up so that folks can find some of the information. There's some really good maps and some good information available on the city website. And I'll make sure that we get some of these links set up for folks so that they can try to help if there's something they'd like to help, or they can research, get a little bit more information. Kate, I realize that, you know, if a person has perhaps a health concern or some other, you know, maybe anxieties about what could be happening to their house, or I'm just trying not to think about my roof right now, but there really isn't much that the city can do. what if folks are really champing at the bit and they're really impatient because perhaps they've got an employer that's really leaning on them to get back to work? I don't suppose there's anything. I mean, the city can't write you like an excuse note or anything, can it?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think if that was a need, I don't know why we wouldn't be able to do that. But again, you know, I think that everybody has been really understanding with school being canceled and people not being able to get out of their homes. You know, we've heard from several students that are worried about their professors not being willing to take excuse notes. But I think really this, when you have an event like this that impacts all of us, if people need an excuse letter, you know, where I would say, come to me. I'm happy to help with that. But again, I also think that there's just a lot of general understanding that if you're not able to get out of your house or, you know, get to work, that I'm hoping that people will be understanding for that.
All right. Well, Kate, thank you so very much for taking some time to answer some questions. And as I mentioned, we'll get some links set up to some additional information. And let's hope that today we're all looking out the window and we all see the plow truck go by. And then we're going to have to take just a few moments and say some bad words about that berm of concrete at the end of our driveway. But we'll get out there, we'll shovel it out, and we'll be good to go. Kate, thanks sure. again for joining us.
No problem. And Lisa, if I could just add one more thing, just because I just got an update. We are over 50% of our residential streets that are plowed. And again, it is our goal today to be able to finish all of residential streets in the city of Duluth. So we're working on it. And again, just really appreciate the public's patience and understanding.
All right. Thanks so much, Kate. I've got a friend, incidentally, who posted on social media last night that when the plow truck driver came by, they came out and brought them warm cookies. Ooh, that's the way to thank a plow driver and also to just generally up the level of discourse as we shovel out from this great snow event over the weekend.